Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 29th of June, and I am recording at 10:19 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Well, what a week! My goodness! It's been pretty dramatic and traumatic for some, and it's only Wednesday, so what have we got to look forward to? But first, let me just cover what's happened here today very quickly. First, you know, some of the selling here, the heavy selling, started on Friday, including on Wall Street last Friday. And we've just seen, then we saw the panicky selling on Monday. As all those people who had gone piling in ahead of the Brexit result found themselves on the wrong side of the trade. And so we had panicky selling, big markdowns, some shorts, panicky selling of long positions, as to say, then big markdowns, and then some short covering as well. And the overall sentiment, well, it's still pretty nervous, to put it mildly. Now, what happened here in terms of various stock markets? Well, first, the UK stock market, and that's the one most in focus. Well, you know, it's rallied back to almost the top of its range since the third quarter of 2015. So that's a strong rally. And the FTSE 100 index closed up over 219 points. That's at 6360. So having broken down to the bottom side of the range, it's now touching the upper side of the range. And what can we attribute this to? Well, I think, you know, the factors here, people were selling very aggressively, then they've bought back, and they are also perhaps hoping that we might not see change in the EU's, in the UK's position within the European Union. I think that is quite wrong. We will see a change, but look at this way. We may well have this dragging on for a couple of years. And in the meantime, the UK is still in the EU, and it's also, I think, in a strong position to demand better terms if it does stay in. My feeling is that the country really should come up with a program that suits not only the Brexit voters, the Leave voters, but also the Remain voters overall, because they represent almost half of the country, but on terms of a better agreement with Europe. Well, will they get that? Quite possibly. Europe's stock markets are still much weaker, and that's their rally over the last couple of days has been modest by comparison with the UK. And that's mainly because of the gravity of the EU's political challenge. Not to be too serious about it, but it's akin to herding 28 angry cats. And then, of course, there's Jean-Claude Juncker, one of the five presidents. And David Cameron was right to oppose his appointment, but that certainly didn't change anything at the time. But he's not popular, I'll put it that way, within the EU. Okay, looking elsewhere, we have the S&P 500, which has recovered perhaps two-thirds of the decline that started on Friday. So that's a pretty good rally overall, back into the broad trading range that we've seen really for a long, long period, as you will be well aware. Elsewhere, China, somewhat steadier within the Asia-Pacific region, and it's certainly been a serial underperformer for a long time, but ranging in a pattern that quite possibly has some upside. And if it does break up out, it'll look like completion of another base. And Japan, well, it's a little bit steadier, but the problem is the Japanese yen, which is really a bit too strong for comfort. It's currently at 102.98 against the U.S. dollar. Now, stepping back, overall, this is still very much a tricky period for global equities. Ellen and I have been talking and writing about that pretty much all year, and I don't think the situation's going to change all that much. But if you asked me, and I'll ask myself on this audio, David, what will most of these stock markets look like a year from now? My feeling is that they will be somewhat firmer. And meanwhile, though, we can see some further choppy ranging. But I don't think we face, at least most stock markets, don't face anything like the sort of dramatic blowout that we saw in 2008. But obviously, performances vary very considerably, and investors are loath to put that much into stock markets. And we also have a situation which certainly led to our caution earlier in the year, because what's the runaway performing sector of stock markets globally? In here, well, of course, it's the commodities and resources shares, which since January got off to a fast start, albeit from very, very low levels. That's one of the reasons why we liked them so much. And some of my subscribers out there, those of you with very long memories and closer to my age, perhaps, will remember that when you've had a good, decent bull market, and we certainly have, the bull market that started from those 2008-2009 lows, when that is long in the tooth and starts to lose upside momentum, you tend to get a dramatic recovery in previously underperforming commodities. We've seen that over and over again, and it has been right on cue. Why does that always happen? Well, the resources sector is highly, highly cyclical, and that's one of the reasons why it's so out of favor when the other broader stock market is actually improving. But it gets a late, strong run, and that is still very, very much in play. As a matter of fact, these shares, for the most part, have been absolutely bulletproof in here. They've been surging over the last fortnight. And I'm not just talking about gold shares. Look at Royal Dutch Shell crude oil. That's, again, broken up out of its trading range. And the worst you can say about it is it's getting a little bit overbought, and it is under some prior overhead supply, but it's still one of the best yields in the market overall. And it's, well, I'm talking my own book here in the sense that I have a significant position, personal position, in Royal Dutch Shell, but I'm hanging in there. And miners generally, industrial miners, we see the recoveries in BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto, outperforming BHP Billiton. These are good yielders as well. And then the BlackRock, BlackRock World Mining Trust, That's another one that broke out to the upside here today. Still at a relatively low level overall, but the chart is performing absolutely beautifully. And I think we will see this continue throughout the rest of the year. Then when they get overbought, like everything else, nothing goes up in a straight line. When they get overbought, they pull back and consolidate. And my strategy is just to add to those positions on pullbacks. Okay, now what else to talk about here? Government bonds. We'll talk about safe haven. People flocked to government bonds here over the last week or two and more. They've been flocking to government bonds for a very long time, as you know. And it has to be said that they're still in form, although overbought in the short term. That means the yields are too low and due to move up a little bit as some of the fear, a little bit of the fear, actually abates. But if you look at the total return index in the chart library, that sector is still in form, albeit a little bit overbought overall. I think the yields are ludicrous, but again, people who have played that market quite successfully are saying that, well, this is the new normal, and those yields are going to get even lower still. Well, I'm not going to participate, and I haven't participated previously, so it would be a dangerous time to be getting into that market. And if I'm right about stock markets being higher and in a year's time, then I think bonds will have underperformed, and you'll certainly get far better yields in a number of equities. Okay, commodities and commodity shares. Well, I've already touched on them. Again, it's the year's hot sector overall, and we're still in an overall recovery mode in here today. Crude oil. It's had a good bounce over the last 2 days. So the Brent crude is trading after hours here at $50.10. That's up $1.52. And the WTI is up $2.03 as I speak. That's at $49.88. And these are still in the overall upward trends. It looks like another reasonably normal reaction and consolidation, and a breakthrough to new recovery highs, which it would not surprise me, and that would reconfirm the overall recovery. Precious metals, well, some star performances in here today. Silver, that's the big one in percentage terms, although not much that bigger than platinum, which I'm gratified to see, but silver, first, after hours, trading at $18.36. That's up nearly 52 cents on the day. Palladium also had a good day here, up over $20 to $590.55. And we see platinum that I was talking about. That's up over $32 here today at $1,011. So that's looking steady overall and not far from breaking up out of a trading range. Now, my view on platinum, which I've mentioned before and written about on a number of occasions, is that you have to monitor these to see which psychological perception stage of the cycle investors are actually in. What I mean by that is their thinking or the thinking recently, and by recently, well, the last few months, most of the year, has been that gold and silver were the precious metals. Actually, they weren't regarding gold and silver as all that precious at the beginning of the year, but the monetary value, in other words, of the hard money value of gold and silver, that's being reflected in the price action that we have seen more recently. Now, platinum platinum is regarded, in contrast, platinum is regarded as purely an industrial metal, and people are concerned about it because the catalytic converter usage is declining because they can use it more efficiently, and then there are the electric cars that are coming up. And so they're saying that they'll need the car industry, automobile industry will need less platinum overall. Well, I don't doubt that for a minute. But what I would also add is that platinum has been a precious metal for thousands of years. And the market has reappraised or remembered and is now talking again about the hard money aspects of gold and silver. And platinum, historically, as you've heard me say before, has mostly traded at a premium to gold. Now, it's a long way from that level right now. For instance, platinum at 1,011 versus gold at $1,319. So it's over $300 below gold, and that is going to narrow that spread, and maybe we saw the beginning of it in here today in a good performance. I think probably up over 3% overall. So a lot of interesting things. Industrial metals moving upwards more slowly, but I think we will see them push somewhat higher. And currencies here. I'm pleased to see the dollar weaker again today, and the dollar index is at 95.685 as I speak. That's down 0.562 ticks on the day. I think probably the Fed came in and intervened again, surreptitiously, always, of course. But the last thing the Fed wants is for the dollar to run up and break up out of its trading range. In other words, sustaining a break above that 100 level on the dollar index. Now, my view, the house view here, including Owen, obviously, is that gold is in a secular bull market. But as I've been hoping all year long, it would have what it historically has often shown, a very, very lengthy consolidation ranging phase before it finally broke decisively to the upside once again. I think the Fed's been holding it back, and quite right too, because if the dollar were to go bounding ahead in this overall weak economic environment, that would hammer corporate profits, which had already been sagging. So that's the last thing Wall Street actually needs. And if the dollar is a little bit weaker, then you get sterling recovering a little bit more. It's with currencies, of course, you're always comparing two different currencies and looking at the actual performance. So yen, I feel, is too strong for at least for the Japanese equities. The dollar, I'm relieved that it's still in its trading range, and I hope it remains in that trading range, dollar index, that is, for well beyond the end of this year. And probably that's exactly what the Fed would like to see and can arrange. Of course, the intervention occurs, maybe instigated by the Fed, but it's actually handled by the Treasury, U.S. Treasury. Sterling, there's a lot of talk about sterling going down to, they took that 20% figure that George Soros had mentioned, and I saw somebody interviewed today from the home gym and mentioning that this was going to go down, their view, this is a big institutional house, that it was going to go down to at least the 120 level. I'm reading between the lines, that tells us that they are short. Well, anything can happen here in that market. I took some profits on part of my, sterling longs that I have bought since the Brexit today. I took profits on the ones that were in profit, and good profits, and I'm holding the rest, which is slightly out of the money still. And that's other currencies, Chinese renminbi, soft overall, although it didn't weaken any further here today. Okay, Brexit summary. Markets had a panic over Brexit. That's unsustainable, in my opinion. People are appraising the situation a little bit more realistically. I think in a year or two's time, we will look at the UK and say, why didn't they do this earlier? And on that note, all the very best to all of you. And last point, just expect some profit taking in these markets that have rallied sharply, that those rallies may continue into Friday, but don't be surprised again if we see some reaction and consolidations, because it's still a choppy market environment. All the best.